Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
What's up, you bad motherfuckers? It's Freaky Friday. This is In the Jar. And I'm just trying to sling a little dick before the weekend's starting here. You know what I mean? Trying to let God strike whatever needs to be said into me. We're talking today about the weekend ahead in the NFL. We're talking about the GM of the Dolphins getting let go and Mike McDaniel going to be staying for at least the rest of the season. Ravens beat the Dolphins at home by 3 scores, I believe, last night in Miami Gardens. It is not looking pretty in Miami, but I do think there were some bright spots in the way that team played last night. I watched the first half, speed ran it, felt like it was really just had some time constraints and didn't watch the second half. So I've only got the story from the first half. But you know what, man? I'm coming on here without an outline. We're going to preview the weekend ahead, like I said, week 9 in the NFL, week 10 in college football, namely the SEC. And, yeah, man, I just got out the cold plunge. I just realized it was Halloween a couple minutes ago. It's funny. I don't give a Frenchman's fuck about Halloween, dude. I see people, and look, if it makes you happy, if it encourages you, if it lifts your spirit to throw on some makeup or whatever for Halloween, like, that's cool, that's dope. I just remember having fucking panic attacks as a kid going to school, and you know, I got my little I got my little mustache taped on my upper lip, you know, and I start to feel the stickiness go away and feel the mustache start to come off in the middle of school, and I'm like, oh man, my costume, it's over, everything's fucked, I'm done, my mustache is coming off, or whatever, you know. I would always get anxiety. I hated the way those masks, those rubber masks, always smelled. It's disgusting, and you're breathing on it. The you know, I've never been a fan of having shit on my face that's not supposed to be there. I don't know. Am I being a hater? Is that some hating ass shit that I'm talking about? I don't fuck with Halloween, man. It's a pocket of people, I think, that when holidays come around, it's like, why do I give a fuck? You know, and I'm in that coalition of people. It's not on no hating shit. It's not on no, I don't want other people to go enjoy themselves. Of course. But Dude, somebody texted me earlier about going to a Halloween party. And they were like, you should come. And I'd be like, yeah, you got a better chance of hanging yourself and then drinking bleach afterwards. Serious, like you got a better chance of hitting the fucking lotto for the hitting the fucking Powerball with the 13th number than getting my ass out to a fucking Halloween party at this point in time. What do you think I'm gonna do out there, man? Just fucking hang out in the corner, try to find somebody that looks like they'll talk about cover four quarters with me for 20 minutes, and then they make a bad take. I get sick of them. Get the fuck out of my face. You really think I'm going to do that? Yeah, I'm going to drink cute cocktails with fucking eyeballs in it, colored with blood. Are you kidding me? I've never, dude, this is something about Halloween that really, really grinds my gears, bro. It's when people make like a cake or like cupcakes and they'll have like human organs on it. Like made of icing or whatever. I don't want to eat that shit, man. I don't care if it's not the real thing. Like, it's disgusting. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to eat. Number one, I don't like candy. That's another grievance I got. Okay, I don't eat candy. I don't like it. It's not good for you. Sorry. I sound like such a hater right now. I'm sorry. I don't like candy, and I don't like when types of candy or food are made to look like other food. Like, you know those fucking gummies that look like hamburgers, but it's candy? Hey, just eat a hamburger. Just eat a hamburger, and then you're going to take a fucking eyeball and put it on my cupcake? No thanks. Hey, not a cannibal. I sound like a hater right now. I really apologize, but, you know, thank you. Dude, this shit just fucking pisses me off, man. Like, you think I want to have blood and fucking, you know, like people put olives in their fucking martinis. Olives are disgusting, by the way. Olive oil is good, though. I love olive oil. But you put fucking martini, you know, you put a olive in a fucking martini. And then Halloween comes along and we're going to put eyeballs in our fucking martini? Are you serious? It's disgusting. I don't care if it's fake. I don't want to think about that. And maybe that's something I have to deal with internally. Maybe there's something I got to get over. I'm not above looking inward, okay? I'm not going to let ego wrap me into this eyeball in our martinis on Halloween discussion. But it's just the whole thing, like, you know, the person that invited me out to the Halloween party, they mean well. They're very sweet person, you know, and I know good and goddamn well that person's going to go to that Halloween party tonight and enjoy it. But you got a better chance of fucking, I already dropped hitting the lottery. What else you got? You got a better chance of hitting your fucking 11-leg parlay this weekend than seeing me out at a goddamn Halloween party, son. It's just the way it is. So I spat all over my mic during that rant. That's really nice. But, yeah, you know, it's people having fun. You know, like, I was a party boy this morning. I went down to the dojo. I went down to the Java House. And I had two lattes. Two. I was being a party boy. Two good goddamn lattes. And, you know, some people have fun with the dressing up thing. I just, that's always been a challenge for me. Dressing, figuring out what I want to be for Halloween. Now, if I had to choose what I would be for Halloween today, you know who the fuck I would be? I'd be Les Grossman from Tropic Thunder. But again, in order to be, I would, yeah, we, can we pull up a picture of Les Grossman? I think, I don't want to slow the stream down. I don't want to risk fucking up the stream. Les Grossman, and a lot of y'all might know what he looks like. Am I going to be able to do this in real time? That's the real question here. Who the fuck's calling me? Oh, my buddy Isaac. I'll holler at you here in a little bit, brother. Les, yeah, fucking A. All right. Is this what the girls call getting overstimulated? Yeah, this is too fucking... I can't get a picture. I need a fucking producer, dude. That's what I need. So guess what? If you're watching this and you're not subbed to the channel, please, God, help me get breaded so that I can pay a producer. Not even get breaded. Just get this thing cash flowing a little bit. So subscribe to the channel. Help me out. Every sub counts. Really appreciate that. And I promise we'll get into football. We're just kind of riding a wave right now. We're kind of riding a wave. So I would be Les Grossman from Tropic Thunder. He's the Jew studio head in Tropic Thunder. And he's got that bald head, but he's got the sides going still. He's got these big meaty hands and fucking BBL on his butt. And he's just cussing people out, you know, and dancing to Ludacris. He's a good guy. And he gets on the phone and he talks down these the people in Vietnam or whatever. I'm talking scorched earth, motherfucker. I will massacre you. I will fuck you up. He's fire. I really like Les Grossman. So that's who I would be for Halloween. But then again, in order to do that, I gotta find a good looking lady to put a freaking bald cap on my head and then do makeup and blend it all in there. And I know if I go out and about in that I'm going to start sweating bullets and this shit's going to start dripping down my face, and then maybe that's I'll do something to fuck that bald cap up, and now I'm getting anxious. I got a freaking flap coming off the side of my head. I'm too ratchet to be able to wear a good Halloween costume because I'll just sweat through it or whatever, you know. It just doesn't work for me. And I know when I have kids and stuff, you got to buy into the holiday shit for the kids, you know. But I'll be damned if I link up with a woman and she tells me, you're coming to this Halloween party and we're going to dress up as Willy Wonka and Oompa Loompa. Bitch, no. No. Now, when you give me kids, I'll do whatever we need to do to keep the kid happy. But if it and there's a lot of guys out there that fall in this category where they're single and they're cool and they're all hard, they're all gangsta, and then they get a good piece of pussy that's got them dressing up like Steve Urkel for Halloween. You know what I mean? Like, if you have kids, it's one thing. If there's no kids and you as a man are choosing to do that, it's this, you know, it's gay. I botched that delivery, by the way. That's why I need a producer to hit that button for me and make the timing good. But it is what it is, baby. So we had the Dolphins against the Ravens. Look, man, the Dolphins were out gaining the Ravens like crazy in the first half. The Dolphins offense was moving the football, and they just kind of pissed down their leg to finish drives. They fumble down in the red area and give it away. They miss a 36-yard field goal. There's another drive where they, I think they got a field goal, you know. But their offense was really, at least in the first half, like I said, I didn't see the second. The offense for Miami actually looked pretty decent. They were moving it pretty decent, albeit on a pretty bad Ravens defense. But they're starting to get healthier, the Ravens. And I noticed, too, defensively for Miami, they were stuffing up Derrick Henry pretty good. They were getting push up front. The second and third level guys were getting in and making plays in the run game. And they were forcing Derrick Henry to, what does this say? What did I write down? To making him reset his feet. Good God. They were doing a good job of getting push and therefore making Derrick Henry reset his feet at the line. Lamar throwing to tight ends. He had two touchdowns and Mark Andrews in the first half. Lamar, in his career, throwing to tight ends, 32.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Touchdowns, two picks. So people say, why not trade Mark Andrews? People say, why not trade Mark Andrews? Because you got Isaiah Likely as tight end one. Lamar should have as many tight ends. Can you imagine Lamar Jackson in Pittsburgh's offense right now? That would be sick. Because this guy loves his tight ends. He falls back on his tight ends when all else fails. And they're doing justice by him. 32 touchdowns, two interceptions for Lamar Jackson throwing to tight ends. Can you imagine him in Pittsburgh's offense walking up there with three, four tight and running all these different route concepts with these three tight guys? And then having a good running back like in Pittsburgh. I think Jalen Warren's a pretty good running back. He's pretty bacon soda. Thank you for the sub. Derrick Henry plays pretty a lot differently than a Jalen Warren for obvious reasons, right? Derrick Henry's fucking 6'3 or whatever. Jalen Warren's like 5'10. But Lamar in Pittsburgh's offense would be sick. Bunch of tight ends. Because he likes to roll out. And the thing with these, obviously, and that's not race. I don't think that's a racial statement to say that Lamar Jackson likes rolling out of the pocket. Could be borderline racist, but you guys know it's the truth. He likes to roll out of there and improvise off script, off schedule. And a lot of times, the guys that kind of wiggle open on those off schedule plays are the bigger guys, the tight ends, the guys that can kind of push off a little bit when no one's looking and just get a little open for a guy on the move to just, and Lamar's good at just, you know what I mean? You know, he throws a damn ball up and it looks like he just shot a basketball shot. You know what I mean? So that's why it's important for Baltimore to keep a couple of tight ends and different tight ends at that, right? Mark Andrews, burly, stockier, a little taller. Maybe not, compared to Isaiah Likely, who's a longer, kind of wormy moving, in the best way, pause, type of guy. You know, Isaiah Likely's more finesse on his route running and his ball carrying, and Mark Andrews is more physical, burly, whatever else you want to stereotype a big, tall, white tight end as. That's Mark Andrews. So let's see. There was that one clip that was going around social media of the rookie out of Oklahoma State running back for Miami, Ollie Gordon. That guy was a fucking cheat code on NCAA 25, by the way. So many people on last year's college video game were playing as Oklahoma State because of this guy, Ollie Gordon. And it makes sense. He's a big back, but he churns his legs, get these extra yards. And there was one play where it was a beautifully designed play. Jalen Waddle's wide open. They get a 35, 40-yard hitter to Waddle. And then they bring it back because Ollie Gordon, it was a bullshit play in my opinion. He was pass protecting and he lost his footing or something. And he cut blocked one of the pass rushers on accident. Barely even scraped him. He lost his feet and was falling down or whatever. And the pass rusher falls over him, and they call it back for tripping. And he comes off the sideline. He comes off the field to the sideline. And I guess the running backs coach was kind of trying to tell him, like, yo, like, don't fucking do that. And he just crashed out. He was like, what the fuck else am I supposed to do? Just crashing out, you know. And he's a rookie. But the frustration's palpable, and it makes total sense. They're losing, and really that play shouldn't have gotten called back. Now, Miami was penalized a lot in the first half that I watched. They were penalized a lot, and it seemed like they were getting penalized on any time they made a big play. I think this would have been a completely different game if the Dolphins had cleaned it up a little bit. But again, you have plays like that Ollie Gordon play that he really wasn't, like, I think we have to look at least with these types of penalties, tripping, cut blocking, we have to, there's another play on punt where the Baltimore punt coverage unit got penalized. A rookie, again, was running alongside a guy on Miami's punt return team, and the ball was going by, and he was trying to make a block. You got to be really careful when you're blocking on the punt coverage unit. And this guy for Baltimore, he's on the coverage unit, and the guy from Miami's on the returning unit, and the rookie for Baltimore is running alongside the Miami punt return guy. And he grabs the top of his shoulder. You guys can't see it, my hand. He grabs the top of his shoulder and just snaps him down with his shoulder. That's a big penalty. You know, you can't. And so rookies, a couple plays I noticed at least, rookies kind of taking riskier go at things and getting penalized. Penalties definitely affected this game, at least in the first half. I saw Bradley Chubb absolutely bully Patrick Ricard one play. That shit was crazy. Ravens with a 51% probability to win the AFC North at 3-5. Now, they showed this statistic, this graphic. This was via AWS, Amazon Web Services, saying that Baltimore had a 51% probability. I'd like to know what goes into that. Cincinnati with a 6% chance to win the North. Absolutely abysmal. It's wide open. But it's probably, the odds probably aren't even that good for Cincinnati. But mid-game, second quarter, they show this graphic. Baltimore with a 51% probability to win the AFC North. I wonder how much higher that went after the win. I'd be hard-pressed to fucking Google that. I'm not going to. That would be brain damage. Let's see. What else? Yeah, we talked about the punt. Listen, I'm saying, like, this Miami defense, they made some beautiful plays in the first half. They made some beautiful plays. Rasul Douglas, the corner, had a beautiful play where Derrick Henry was running the football. It was a stretch. Rasul Douglas did this thing, and I don't know what you would, in terms of terminology, refer to this kind of play as, but I saw it a lot in my days playing college ball where the corner's playing that contain role, outside leverage role against the run, and he shoots up in the alley, and there's obviously a receiver trying to block him, or maybe a tight end or a tackle even, and he literally slides down on his inside knee to rip under the block in space and get the legs of the ball carrier. Rasul Douglas did an amazing job of this last night. So I'm saying, like, on both sides of the ball, this had to be so frustrating in the first half for Miami. On both sides of the ball for Miami, you had guys making plays and making really nice plays at that. But you just have some bad breaks. You shoot yourself in the foot. You get penalized when you make some big plays. You miss a 36-yard field goal. You fumble down in the red area. It's a completely different game. So that's kind of the story of bad teams, especially in pro football. Now, you look at teams like Tennessee. There's obviously a talent discrepancy with an organization like Tennessee with the rest of the league. I would think that there's definitely a talent discrepancy on the Cincinnati Bengals defense across other defenses compared to the rest of the league. So what can you do there? What can you do? So the Dolphins this morning, I saw a headline from ESPN, can't find the article at the moment, didn't read it when I got the alert this morning, that Mike McDaniel will remain the head coach of the Miami Dolphins at least until the end of the season. Like I said, I don't have the article to go into details on it. I'd be hard-pressed to try and find it live on stream right now. I'd rather focus on entertaining you guys, or trying to, giving you some good juice going into the weekend. Why part ways with Greer now? The Dolphins lose a game at home by 3 scores in which the visiting team's fans were such a large presence that Tagovailoa blamed them for a false start penalty early in the first quarter. You see that, but here's the thing. Okay, we've gone over this on the show before. Any NFL organization that resides in a city that has palm trees is going to struggle with visiting fans taking over their home environment. Why? Because unless a team is balling like the Dolphins were in the 70s, and it's very fair weather if you think about it, unless the team is absolutely balling, if you live in a city with palm trees, people are going to find other things to do other than follow the team and go to games. Miami's one of those places. Phoenix is like that. Los Angeles is obviously like that. Tampa's got some dedication to them, but they're also a good team right now. In places with palm trees, if you look at the ticket sales side like I do, because that's what I worked in, I interviewed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and something that was very important to the Buccaneers pre-Brady, I'm talking Jameis Winston days, something that was very important to them were selling group tickets. So really in ticket sales, you're selling when you start out. You're selling two different kinds of products. You're selling season tickets for actual fans of the team that live in that place full time. Again, if somebody, people do it, but somebody's going to be less inclined to buy season tickets for a sports team if they don't live there at least during the season. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers pre-Brady, they were asking me in the interview how familiar I was with selling groups. Groups are one-game packages where you sell 10 tickets or more. So you think like Boys and Girls Club of America, they're going to buy 200 tickets for the NFL Crucial Catch game in Tampa. A lot of these organizations in places with palm trees are going to focus on selling more group tickets as opposed to season tickets. Season tickets, you look at an organization like the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers have never had to sell season tickets because their fan base is so deep that there's a century-long wait list. Same with the Packers. You know, I'm not sure. I remember there were some people selling for the Cowboys. But I couldn't imagine them having to sell that many season tickets. You know, because in with, like I said, Pittsburgh, they don't need a season ticket sales staff. Green Bay, they don't need it. They all got a century-long wait list. But organizations like Miami, organizations like the Titans, you know, my first job was with the Colts. Teams like that, organizations like that, you still have to sell these season ticket plans. But when you're an organization like Miami, and again, Miami Dolphins are one of the most group sales-oriented ticket sales staffs that I know of, you're going to have other fans get in the building on a consistent basis and possibly even affect the game, like Tua seemed to talk about last night. But why would they fire Greer now? What's his name? Chris Greer? Is that his name? Chris Greer. For the first time in a quarter century, Chris Greer is no longer a member of the Miami Dolphins. Damn, so he's been with the organization for 25 years. That's really got to hurt. And there's people today, because Chris Greer is a black guy. Stephen A. talked about it today, and I don't want to say it's turning into a race discussion, but it seems like it's at risk too, for sure. 12 hours after their loss, he got fired. And what's crazy is this article talks about that time in, what was it, 2023? That the Dolphins hung 70 on the Broncos, and we all thought that this offense was run by Mike McDaniel was absolutely unstoppable. You guys remember that shit? I forgot about it until I read it in this article. We were all really high on McDaniel and the Dolphins at that point. I don't think Tua Tagovailoa's head is right anymore. He played fine last night. I was actually pretty impressed with the way he played last night, at least watching the first half. I can't speak for the second half. I didn't watch the second half. But they just seem to be riddled by big plays coming back or turning the ball over. I said on the show yesterday that whoever turned the ball over more is going to lose the game. These big-ass articles, you got to break them down in real time when you're doing a live show, baby. What are the Dolphins looking to see from McDaniel for the remainder of the season? They said their owner's patient, believes in process over results to an extent. The Dolphins continue to show fight throughout the season, and Ross, the owner, sees a consistent effort to improve. McDaniel should be safe. But what is that? That's very subjective, what we're talking about here. And then, of course, there's questions about the trade deadline. But there's going to be people out there that, golly, there's a guy on ESPN set on First Take dressed as Willy Wonka, and for a second I thought it was Cam Newton just wearing his regular outfit. But then I looked to the right and Cam Newton sitting there in a similar kind of hat. Oh, man. Let's preview the games. I'm gonna send you guys on out of here after we preview these games, because I'm gonna try to make it to jujitsu here in about 30 minutes, and it's Freaky Friday, and I know you a lot of you guys are probably getting ready to do whatever you're gonna do for the evening. I'm gonna do some training and then probably come back and stream Madden. But let's get into the week 9 betting odds and give our picks. And I guess we talked a lot about college football this week. So we'll see if we go there. I know Oklahoma's at Tennessee. Neither of those teams can lose that game. And then Vanderbilt's at Texas. Vandy can maybe afford to lose one more. Texas can't afford to lose another if they want to make the college football playoff. So we got the Falcons at the New England Patriots. Spread's 5.5. Give me New England. Atlanta seems like they're falling off. I would take New England to cover that as well. Now, this one is interesting. Carolina Panthers at Green Bay Packers. Why is it interesting? 13.5 point spread Green Bay is favored by. Carolina's won how many? 4 in a row? And you're going to give me this kind of spread? I'm taking the Panthers to cover that all day. And even if it doesn't hit, I'm not regretting taking that, because I believe this Carolina Panthers team has won 4 in a row. And the Packers seem, they're a good team, but they definitely seem fallible at times. I watched them almost lose to the Cardinals and Jacoby Brissett a couple weeks ago right here in Glendale, Arizona. Give me the Panthers to cover that. I think the Packers win, but I think the Panthers cover 13.5. That's a huge spread, especially for a team that's won 4 in a row. I don't know, man. L.A. Chargers at Tennessee Titans, 9.5 point spread. Like, that's crazy. The Chargers should have more of a favor there, in my opinion. So, obviously, give me the Chargers with the points. The Titans are the worst team in the NFL. Worst owner, well, one of the worst owners in the NFL. I'm biased and think that my Bengals owners are worse, but the Titans ownership is pretty bad as well. Pretty poorly managed, dysfunctional organization. Give me the Chargers to win. Give me the Chargers on the points, 9.5 at least. I think they win by maybe 3 scores. Denver at Houston. Denver is actually a underdog. It's pretty even, 1.5 spread, plus 108 on the money line. Vegas must know something I don't, because I haven't been impressed with Houston a bit. I think they played okay last week. I can't remember who they had. But why would you not take Denver? I would just take Denver money line on that. The way they've played well. They're in the top of the AFC conversation right now. Give me Denver on the money line, even on the road at Houston. This is all early slate, by the way. You got the Chicago Bears at my Cincinnati Bengals. Chicago favored by 2.5 points. Here's the thing. Here's my delusional weekly Cincinnati Bengals fan take. Everybody is down on this team right now. Everybody, myself included, we're devastated. We feel like our season's over. And the only explainable thing that could happen with this Bengals team is for them to find a way to reignite hope in the fan base, only to crush us again. It's a cycle as old as time. Just as Bears shit in the woods, just as the Pope is Catholic and likes kids, the Bengals will reignite hope somehow just to have it all crushed at the very end. For that reason, in order for that prophecy to carry itself out, the Bengals must win against the Bears this weekend, or it's complete hopelessness and closure, which these Cincinnati sports teams never seem to give us. So for that reason, in the most fucked up way I could tell, you take Cincinnati to win against Chicago this weekend. it's a prophecy as old as time. These Cincinnati teams, you're out on them, but then they do something to make you feel like there's hope again, and then they destroy your hope into billions of little pieces at the very end. That's how it always goes. So if I'm making an objective pick as I can, I'm factoring that situation in there, and I'm taking the Bengals money line over the Bears this weekend. Indianapolis at Pittsburgh, that one is tasty. Indy going on the road as a 3-point favorite. And it's hard to, dude, it's hard to go against Indy right now with the way this Pittsburgh defense is playing, with the way Jonathan Taylor is playing. Jonathan Taylor deserves to be the front runner for the MVP right now. He won't get it because a quarterback will get it. And I've been meaning, we really are short on time right now, ladies and gentlemen, but I've been meaning to bring this to the table, and maybe members of the audience will be able to bring this back to the table, hold me accountable to make sure I talk about this ad nauseum. We need to have a separate quarterback award from the MVP race. We need to disqualify quarterbacks from being the MVP of the league. Give them their own special award so that more players can, so that the MVP race can actually be democratized. That's very communist sounding of me. But every year it's a quarterback that wins MVP. And again, it's not going to affect our game for better or for worse. Whoever the fuck's MVP, all that I care about is who's winning the Super Bowl. That's what we all need to care about above anything else. But that was just something I was thinking about. Give me Indy on the points. Get some back. But even then, that's minus 122. That's really something there. San Francisco, I mean, we're still on the early slate. I got to get the fuck out of here. San Francisco at New York Giants. San Francisco comes in favored at 2.5. I see New York as pretty deflated right now, and that could mean one of two things. Either they'll respond strongly and play their ass off because they're able to take adversity and flip it on its head, or they just continue to spiral. It's hard for me to... Give me San Francisco on the points. 2.5 points against New York, even though they're on the road. Minnesota at Detroit, 8.5 point spread. I think that's tighter. I think that spread is going to be tighter. Minnesota gives them a bit of a game. They show some of those exotic stunts and fronts that are signature to Brian Flores' style. Division game, 8.5 points is too big of a spread. Give me Minnesota to cover that. I still think Detroit wins, but I think it's a close game, one-possession game. New Orleans at Los Angeles, 14.5 point spread. That's dangerous. I probably would not bet that game in any capacity. But if I had to pick, obviously Los Angeles going to win. They're one of the sneaky best teams in the league. Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford have an incredible chemistry that can only be formed after years and years of working together, which they have. Give me Los Angeles to win. Moneyline's a shitty deal. 14.5 points is absolutely huge. But give me Los Angeles on the points. Look, New Orleans is starting a new quarterback this weekend. Tyler Shuck out of University of Louisville. So this is an unpredictable game. I would stay 10,000 miles away from actually putting cold, hard George Washingtons on this game. Jacksonville at Las Vegas. That's to start the afternoon slate's also got that Los Angeles game. This is another afternoon slate game. Jacksonville at Las Vegas. Vegas is 2.5 point underdogs. Give me Jacksonville points. Kansas City at Buffalo. This is another afternoon slate game. This will surely please as one of the games of the week. 1.5 point spread in favor of Kansas City going on the road to Buffalo. Give me Buffalo to cover that. In fact, give me Buffalo money line just because I'm a bit biased feeling today. Seattle at Washington. This is the Sunday night game. 3-point favor 3 points in favor of Seattle. This is NFC West versus NFC East. Give me the NFC West on the points. Seattle -3, even though it's about even money, so that's not bad. Monday night. Arizona at Dallas. That's a sleepy fucking game. Maybe I'll preview that on Monday. I don't feel like making a pick on that there today. Okay, I'm going to let you guys go. It's time for me to go to jiu-jitsu. We're sending off our weekend right within the jar. If you're watching this and you haven't subscribed yet, hit that subscribe button, bare minimum. Just like the video for me, please. It helps us out a lot. I want to be able to hire a producer and a writer and a giraffe to sit here and hang out in the room while I shoot this thing. You can also listen to this podcast on every audio platform you can think of. We update that daily. You can watch replays of every episode here on this YouTube channel. Follow on Kick and Twitch if you feel like it. That's not really my primary deal, but we do stream on those platforms every single episode as well. And with that, it's been another episode of In the Jar, 105, I believe. And we will see you guys on Monday. I'm going to jiu-jitsu.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat, and boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.